Well, I think we all know it is Palm Sunday, and
I like this slide of light coming through the palms. That's pretty cool. Well, what is Palm Sunday? Well, it's the Sunday Jesus rides into Jerusalem to die. Okay, and as given, the accounts are found in all the Gospels: Matthew 21, Mark 11. And Luke 19, and even John 12. And those are the references we'll be referring to throughout today's sermon. But if you have a chance to read them, you can make some parallel. And that's basically what I'm going to do. Rather than look at one passage, I'll make a parallel today of Palm Sunday, the Sunday Jesus rides into Jerusalem to die. Now, there's one artist's depiction. I kind of like that one. People look happy. They look kind of normal. They don't look goofy. And just like you and I. And you meet somebody coming into town. They didn't ride in limousines. They rode horses, right? But Jesus is riding a donkey. A very special donkey, as we'll see the scriptures tell us about. But you see cloaks and branches being laid before the donkey as it's proceeding into Jerusalem. Kind of nice picture, isn't it? So in commemorating that event that happened the week before Christ goes to the cross on Good Friday and then is raised from the dead on Sunday, we have these type of celebrations are remembered. Palm fronds being waved. Just any green kind of branch will do, you know. When you don't have palms around, you know, you grab anything green, wave it. We today are distributing what's called palm crosses. That's one of my firsts. It's my first time. Someone in the church said, "Yeah, we used to do that growing up as a little girl." And I said, "Well, okay, we'll do it. That's a good idea." And so different people use different ways, and it gets a little bit more elaborate in some places. I mean, these guys really go whole hog in different places, and it's more formal in certain traditions. Perhaps you'll even. There'll be some kind of broadcast today with the Pope, I don't know, but he's got a special one that he waves. But Palm Sunday celebration, historically, it didn't really begin until about 400 A.D. There's not a mandate in Scripture that says, and be sure that you observe Palm Sunday. What we're told to do is to observe the Lord's Day and to remember me by eating the bread and drinking the wine. Those are the very clear instructions from Christ. But when it comes to worship forms, we're given a liberality. But the early church itself didn't practice Palm Sunday until about 400 A.D. in Jerusalem. Just the Jerusalem church did it. And then, later on, our Catholic friends adopted this practice in the early 8th century. And so this is where the historical origins come from. And if you'd like to read more about the Catholic origin of the celebration, you can find that at catholicculture.org. It's probably not a website you go to that often, but it is good for history among Catholic practice. Remember, before Reformation, we were basically Catholic or Orthodox was the major groupings of the Church of Christ. The biblical record is what I want us to focus in on. Now, what does it have to say? Well, the branches of palm trees is only mentioned by John in his gospel. How many gospels are there? There's four, right? Okay, one talks about branches of palm trees. But Matthew and Mark use the phrase tree branches. Not palm, branches of palm trees, but tree branches. And it could be, you know, any kind of little green twigs. It didn't have to necessarily be these beautiful fronds. And those are pretty good. Where did they get? Did they buy those, or did they clip those off somebody's bush? Those are pretty neat. And I thought when they were singing, they got, you know, kind of got the projector light, and that's kind of nice. But Matthew and Mark used the phrase tree branches, and so it could be any type of branch from any type of green tree. Usually used for oaks, but I'm not quite sure about oak trees. Luke is silent. He doesn't even talk about branches and palms. That's the biblical record. You can look at those again in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and see how they talk about it. But they all like to talk about cloaks or garments. not the branches. Matthew 21:8 says, most of the crowd, okay, most of the crowd. I don't know how to describe most of you, but if you can think, most of those who are here this morning, most of us spread their cloaks on the road. And the others, they cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Cloaks. That's Matthew 21:8. But also in Mark 11:8, and many, many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. So it would appear to me that the scripture record is that this is more cloak spreading than palm waving, according to their perspectives of Matthew and Mark. And Luke says, and as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. So he doesn't even say anything about branches. So maybe we should call it Cloak Sunday, right? And we all come out here waving our cloaks. I think we got the liberty to do that, actually. I mean, just as much as we got liberty to do the palms, I think we could wave our cloaks. So this is pretty more like it. I don't like, you know, the weirdness of the yellow around Jesus' head here. But anyway, this artistic license, okay? But you see, here the emphasis is on the cloak that's being put before the donkey. And just a few. I think that might be a little bit more accurate biblically. Others were bringing the branches. But everybody, most many, were bringing cloaks. So I'm just saying, if we want to stick to the biblical record, I think, from my perspective, it seemed cloaks was the thing of the day. Well, why not just the branches and not the cloaks? Primarily tradition. Traditions are okay. But it was tradition. Of this celebration of Palm Sunday comes out. Some traditions are okay, some are not. Some even ride donkeys on Palm Sunday. Has anybody ever done that now? Ride a donkey on Palm Sunday. Look, check this guy out. I was reading in Russia during the time of the Tsars. The Tsars would walk, and they would put the patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church, he would sit on a donkey while the Tsar of Russia would... walk alongside. No, donkey riding, what makes this event so special, riding a donkey was just for Jesus. He is the prophesied Messiah. From Zechariah 9:9, we can see that he fulfills that prophecy. Matthew states, this took place, this riding the donkey, to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble. Not on a white stallion swinging a sword of jihad. And mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. He's going to accomplish peace for the earth by sacrificing his own life. He could have done it in many ways. You know, you watch these fighters on TV go into the ring, they wait, and then here is James Bunger! And, you know, they say all that big loud, and boom, comes up, big introduction, he jumps in the ring, he's ready to fight. Well, this is Christ coming into the city of Jerusalem, the holy city of God. He's the king of this city, he's the Messiah. And by the way, I won't refer to it in Luke's version of this story. He weeps over Jerusalem at the same event. But he comes in very humbly, and he's not coming to take on the Roman government and knock them out. No, he's coming give himself a sacrificial lamb. So behold, your king, my king, is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt,
the foal of the beast of burden, and that happened one time in history, and nobody else needs to sit on a donkey. That scripture refers to the one and only, the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah. If you want to reenact it and do that, okay. But it has no consequence. It is not in fulfillment of scripture or a scriptural rule, if you will, a Bible suggestion. Palm Sunday, what's important? Okay, let's get to the heart of this. What's really important? Well, I believe a heart that sings praise to the King. And our worship team, thank you again. You did a lovely job getting us doing that. And the kids got us started. A heart that sings praise to the King. That means a heart that knows they have a King. They know they need a reason to have a King. And so that's why I've entitled this sermon, A Song for the Entire Family. I'm going to need your patience, your input in this sermon, so hang in there. Maybe you were up late last night or you're just sleepy, my voice is putting you to sleep, whatever. But I'm going to need your help, okay? Are you going to help me out?
Yes.
At least two people said yeah. Yes. All right? Yeah. All right, okay, you're awake. A song for the entire family. Now, I wasn't going to give that guy Gangnam Style, you know, any credit. I was going to throw a slide at him. But we're going to talk about Matthew style, Luke style, Mark style, Luke style, and John style, okay? A song for the entire family, all right? And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then there's a little bit of scripture break, and it jumps over to Matthew verse 15b. In the temple, Christ has been doing all these great things, healing people, the blind, and I think it's the lame. I have to double check on that, but I know the blind couldn't see. He's doing great healing, and he's cleaned out the temple of all the money exchangers, and these little kids are crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Pharisees and scribes and all those guys, the chief priests, they get really angry and want them to shut up. Don't you hear what the children are crying out? Okay. Now, this word shouting in the original is the same word for crying out. All right. Have you ever heard kids shout, cry out? I was on the bus this morning and some of my neighbors were going to a Easter egg hunt for mothers of multiples. You know any mothers of multiples? I think that means mothers of twin or triplets, okay? And they said they're going to be over 20 to 30 sets of twins. That's an exclusive egg hunt, right? But this one little twin, I think it was Charlie, he was going, ah! And mommy says, use your inside voice, use your inside. And we're talking about a guy who's 5 months old, maybe 6 months old. I don't know. He's just a little thing, right? How old is he? Are they a year old yet? Okay, they're bigger than that. Okay, they're a year. Our Charlie. Yeah, our Charlie, though. So a year old is crying out. Now, what I'm getting at here is, I like the translation, we're shouting. Now, I know some of you, and I've had the pleasure of being your friend and praying with you and talking with you and doing Bible studies and all kinds of things, you know, in a little small group or one-on-one. And some of you are really quite mild-mannered. And others of you are much more expressive and loud. It's okay. It's good. That's the way God makes us. But, you know, these folks on that day had caught this thing. Now, don't judge them. Don't be prejudged, because we know what's going to happen in a few days. There's going to be some people saying, crucify him, but I'll get to that in a minute. But these guys are doing what? They're shouting and they're crying out. All right, gang, I told you I need your help. I want to see how well you can cry out and shout. Okay, so I'm going to say we're shouting, and then you do the bit, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna to in the highest. And then I'll do the bit, and the children crying out in the temple, and then you do the bit, Hosanna to the Son of David. Okay, so I'm going to read in a normal voice, but what are you supposed to do?
Shout. I think I need to stand.
I think we should all stand, don't you? Okay. All right. God has made us to worship Him with what? All our mind and our body and our might and our strength, with all our heart. And I think some ways we forget this in our nice evangelical world, and we don't get loud for Christ. All right? So I'm not going to tell you how loud to get. You do it. All right? Okay, you got to shout. Ready? Clear your vote. All right. And the crowds that went before Him and that followed Him were shouting,
"Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!"
That's pretty good. And the children crying out in the temple,
"Hosanna to the Son of David!"
If you get tired, you need to sit down. That's fine, right? Because now we're going to go into Mark style. All right? Mark style is pretty much the same, and those who went before and those who followed were shouting,
"Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our Father David! Hosanna in the highest!"
That's a pretty good shouting. Now Luke style, you ready? "The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying,
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest."
One last one. "So they took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him, crying out,
Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel."
Thanks. You can be seated. It even feels good to do that. Yeah. With lifted voices sing. I want to go back to Luke. Something about Luke, was it? Yeah, I had an asterisk next to disciples. "The whole multitude of His disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." Jerusalem sits on a hill, and they're marching up. Christ is on his little donkey, and He's going up. And while who's going up with Him are other people who are going to attend Passover feasts. And I believe many of these that were in His immediate vicinity with Him on the donkey and proceeding in were those who had seen Him do great and marvelous works, including the resurrection of Lazarus. They were overwhelmed with praise to King Jesus. The group later on who's going to be yelling, "Crucify," this is my interpretation of Scripture, and I believe this with my heart, are people within Jerusalem, the citizens of Jerusalem, who were stirred up by the leaders of Jerusalem to ask for Christ's crucifixion. Could there have been people who sang Hosanna as well, say, "Crucify Him"? Yeah, there probably could have been a few. But I think the majority of those who are seeing "Crucify Him" come from the crowds of Jerusalem proper and not from the pilgrims who had come to Passover from outside of Jerusalem. That's what I wanted to note. The whole multitude of His disciples began to rejoice and praise Him with a loud voice. Okay, we got through the different styles. So with lifted voices, we sing Hosanna. And Hosanna, the word means save now. I mean, you don't even think of that, right? It's just Hosanna. What? When you say it, it's just a word, right? It's kind of, Chinese is ho-ho, right? That's ho. Hosanna, it's a happy word, right? Happy. Yeah, it's happy. It means save now. Now. Save. Blessed One. There is no one on earth whose name is of any comparable significance as the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm very grateful for the leaders of this world and how somehow God in His sovereignty lets them work together so we don't annihilate ourselves. And we have leaders even within this city who make good laws and regulation that keep us from killing each other and taking everybody's wealth away from everyone. But there's only one blessed one. Name above all names, the Lord Jesus the Christ. Son of David. Now to you and I, you know, son of David, daughter of David, I know is Dorcas, right? I've got a son named David, so David doesn't have any children yet. I mean, what do you mean son of David? This is the promised Messiah that would always carry on under the line of David. This is why Jesus was born where? In Bethlehem, the city of David. Jesus is the Messiah. And when we use that word Messiah, I hope you grab a hold of it and know that, yeah, that is the Savior of everything. He gets rid of all your sadness, all of your heartache, all of your physical illness, all of your troubled worries. It's all gone. He saves you completely from it to take you to where? To paradise. He is Messiah. And He is not only Messiah of you and I as individual people, but as a collective, as the kingdom of God that is eternal forever and ever in the new heaven and new earth. A kingdom without sin, greed, lust, anger. He is the blessed one. He is the one we lift our voices and we say, save now, save now. Blessed one, son of David. King of all. King of Israel, the people of God. Which includes every brother and sister in Christ and every Jewish believer in Christ. The whole of God's people. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. There's occasionally when we're singing here, I get really kind of moved in the spirit, you know. Emotionally involved, if you want to call it that. I think it's a spirit thing. I don't think it's just an emotional thing. And tears come to the eyes. It's really a good sense that isn't this kind of what we're supposed to be doing, you know? And so that's why we say we worship in music. We worship in the Word. We worship in prayer. We're worshiping while we're singing. And I know I'm so glad I'm not on the worship team. I would throw us off all the time, you know. Can't carry a tune that well and stick to the music, but I enjoy singing. And I think many of you do too. But in the heavens, when we're made to be what we are, creatures who purely are singing praises and glory, there is glory in the highest. You and I are called to that. We're getting there. Okay, how many of you ever Googled Hosanna? I just did yesterday because I had to do this soon. Okay, but anyway, you get 5 to 6 million possibilities. What do you call those? Web entries that you can follow up on. That'd take a lifetime. 5 to 6 million. So, yeah. But you get anything from... Paul Baloche, is that how we say it? Baloche. Thank you. I knew I was going to mess that one up. But Brother Paul's song, The Greater Song, I really like that. It's a really moving Hosanna song. Or Hosanna Rock, which the kids were singing today. Can you just go home with your kids, Google it, and sing a song? Your kids, and do it kind of loud. I think your kids are like that. Make some noise in your home, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter. You're going to only sing one or two songs, right? I don't advise singing for 1 or 2 hours with microphones on karaoke, you know, karaoke. But do sing it.
and rock, you know, and Hosanna to the King of Kings. And Kenny, for some reason, already did that this past week with Annette, and they're playing these little bongo drum things and with Hosanna Rock. And I didn't tell him to do this for my sermon illustration, but he just did it, you know, and he put it on Facebook, and I thought, wow, all his friends can see, this is what Annette and I rock. I guess, Shirley, you're the camera person doing it. Try that today, even if you're tired. Hosanna Rock with your kids. Do something. Sing a song with them. Application. Sing, save now. Save me, King Jesus, from the sin in my heart, from the sin in this world. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Glory in the highest. Come into our hearts like you came into that city, Lord Jesus. Grab a hold of us in such a way that we do see that you are the one, the blessed one. You are the King to whom all the earth will bow down and say, yes, you are Lord. And then will come judgment. And for those of us in Christ, we know it's eternal life. Not by anything we've done, just because of everything that he's done. Save now. If it wasn't for the exception that there are loved ones and people out there who need to be saved, people who need to hear the good news of gospel, would you want to leave the earth right now? If I lived in northern Nigeria, I certainly want to leave the earth. If I was caught up in the sex trade industry, which is supported by all the pornography, billions of dollars, I wouldn't leave the earth right now. If I was part of those 1 out of 9 people that are starving on this planet, I wouldn't leave right now. The drug addicts, people who are being senselessly killed because we sell arms, guns, to violent people. And I mean politically violent people. Seeing a world that's just polluted over and over again in so many different ways where we just don't even have clean air in the city anymore. We have a lot of great blessings on planet Earth. But if it's going to get you, this Hosanna, if you're going to be able to sing that, you're going to be singing that, save now, Lord Jesus. Come grab me, and I want to be with you in your paradise. I want you to be king of my life. And I know, God, I know from your word, as I look at your word, you have put me on here to do two main things. And one's a cultural mandate, and that is to multiply and be fruitful and fill the earth and subdue it and exercise dominion over the fish and the birds and the living creatures. I'm supposed to manage this earth. I'm his workman. I'm here to do things, and all your jobs that you have and I have, we're to do that for his honor and his glory, so that his glory will fill the earth as we do our work. But at the same time, I'm to do what? To fulfill the Great Commission. And that's to make disciples. So how does that fit? You know, that's our attention where we're now on this planet. We are not home yet. We're on our way home. We're on this journey. We're on this pilgrimage. And together, by God's grace, he has let our paths intertwine and to become part of this tapestry of DBICC. But yet, can we not all sing, save now, Lord. We're ready for you. Yes. Save me from my sinfulness, from my self-centeredness. Save us as a collective group. Make us more and more such a loving community that people in DB will see us and want to be a part of it. In this world, when you see bad things happening, and I know my prayers are real weak, but when you see bad things happening like in northern Nigeria or graft and corruption within local governments, pray. You and I pray. But I also pray, come save now, Messiah. save us from this world, from the sin in this world. And we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done, your rule and your glory in a perfect world. And you receive glory in the highest. So the application is pretty simple. Hosanna. Sing it loud. Sing it from the heart. Our Savior is our King. Let's pray. Father, I know not what my friends need saving of. But those of us who have come to faith in you, Lord Jesus, we do know we need continuing your power, your fresh filling of Holy Spirit to keep us from being self-centered and just not caring about people and not loving you with all our might and heart and strength. You are the Blessed One. You are the King of Kings. You are the King of all. And Lord, what does that mean? How do we sing it with our children? How do we sing it in our own heart and really be truthful before you? And so I pray this Easter holiday, as we contemplate afresh you riding into the city to die, and I'll personalize that, Lord, you rode into Jerusalem to die for me, but not me alone. So thank you, Father. Thank you for song. Thank you for this congregation and for the singing we were able to do here. And may it be a song of our heart and our life that we yearn to see you come and take us home. Thank you for entering the city of Jerusalem many years ago and going to that cross for us. And how could we help but not sing to you? May our children get this as they see us sing with them and make a loud and joyful noise of praise. It's in Christ's name I do pray these things. Amen.